Welcome to the mic, Chloe Kemp from Kent. It's time to be frank, it's time to vent. From mental health to parental death, where the humour is dark as she's bereft. There'll be tears and there'll be laughter, and of course there'll be talk about those pyjamas. So pull up a seat, you're in the front row now. Turn down the lights, it's time to get the clow down. Let's get the clow down.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Get the Clow Down with me, Chloe Kent. And today I'm talking to somebody who I'm just in absolute awe of. Like, she really made that Lizzo Good as Hell song come to life. Her name is Kaylee Stead. She's a 27-year-old bride who was left at the altar on her wedding day. She later uploaded the video to TikTok, which went completely viral, being posted all around the world. She ended up on This Morning talking to Phil and Holly with her bridesmaids about the entire day, what it meant for her, how it felt. But I'm catching up today to ask her some of the aftermath. Has she spoken to him since? Has she got her closure? I'm so excited to be speaking with her today. So grab a cuppa, sit down, and chill out, because I'm catching up with Kaylee Stead. Right, guys, so I am with Kaylee today. You'll know a little bit about her because I have just introduced you all, but I feel like Kaylee should say in her own words why you might know her.
So I'm Kaylee. So you may or may not have heard that I was the girl that got left at the altar, but rather than kind of wallow in pity, which would have been completely justified, I carried on with the day, had my party, ate my food, and drank a lot of tequila.
It's so mad because I just love that little intro, you know, you just drink a lot of tequila. Yeah. But I remember seeing the videos and they were just going viral. Like, I remember seeing like on Instagram, but then it would appear on Facebook. And then next thing I know, it's all over TikTok and it was just everywhere. I mean, did you guys know that that was, did you have an inkling that might happen?
Not at all. Like, if you kind of looked at my TikTok, I've never ever posted a video at all. And like, I was just like, when my videographer sent me all the videos over, I just wanted it to be background to the Lizzo's music. And I did that for myself. And I was like, oh, I'll just chuck it on you so just so I can look back. And I literally went to sleep. This was like 12 o'clock at night. And I went to sleep and fine. And then all of a sudden I got my sister ringing me in the morning. And I was like, what's going on? And she was like, have you seen? And I was like, I haven't seen. So I woke up, looked at my TikTok, and it was on like 800,000 views at that point. And I was just like, this is insane. I ran down to my mum and my dad and I was like, oh my God, guys, look at this. I've got 800,000 views. And they went, what does that mean? And I was like, what? This is the wrong person to be talking to right now. And then I just literally, I FaceTimed all the girls and they were just like, this is insane. And I was obviously a bit nervous then at that point because I was a bit like, oh God, because I know how volatile TikTok can be. It can be, it's one way or the other. There's no medium ground. People love you or they hate you. And luckily enough, I received a lot of love and I was just completely shocked by that. And I think it was just insane to see it just kind of, like, I had my friends going, like, on my For You page, you're just popping up. And, like, my brothers and sisters were seeing their face on TikTok and they were like, this is just madness. Insane.
I mean, you made it to This Morning.
I know. Well, insane.
What was that like?
Oh, honestly, one of the best experiences I've ever done, like, meeting Holly and Phil, like, and they're just as nice as they actually seem. Like, luckily enough, we got to meet Holly before we were interviewed, and she came and she said hello to all the girls, and I was in the makeup room, they were touching up my makeup, and I walked out, and she went, so you're the bride, and then she gave me a massive hug.
Aww.
And I was like, God, I feel like I was like, can I touch you? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
As weird as it sounds, I had a bit of a smell of her as well. And she smelled like just an angel. Just like,
oh, I can imagine, like baby powder and Chanel.
Oh, Chanel all over. Literally Chanel, number five. Like the dream perfume that I wish I could buy. But probably pennies to her. But yeah, she was so nice. And because my brothers and sisters and my friends had like joked about it. So when they saw it went viral and then they saw the Sun tuck it up, they were like, oh God, you'll be on This Morning next. And I was like, absolutely not. And then I got a message from one of the producers or the people who'd search up stories. And I actually messaged back saying, I'm not going to lie, is this real? I was like, I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, we are real. And then they had to send me an email because I literally did not believe it was them.
Yeah. I mean, when I put you into the girls group and said, girls, I'm going to talk to Katie on my podcast, straight away they're like, oh my God, you're so lucky. She's such a vibe. And I think you just went viral because it could have been such a difficult situation, but you somehow, you know, you made it so positive and it looked genuinely like it was a really lovely day. I mean, was it fully lovely or were there parts that are a bit difficult, a bit sad or?
Oh, absolutely. Like there's ups and downs. Like now I can laugh about it now because when I actually sat down, so throughout the day we did like little alterations. So obviously I was meant to be sitting next to my ex-partner and then my maids of honour and then his best men. And obviously what the girls did, what we decided is I had all my bridesmaids sat on the top table with me, which was just amazing. Like even if you didn't have a wedding, every girl should have that moment where they're with their friends at the top. And then I started eating my food, and then as like kind of like it all dulled down and like all the energy kind of like and people were eating their food, I was like about to eat a bit of beef and I looked up and I looked at my auntie and she was there just sobbing while eating a bit of her chicken. I can laugh about it now, but do you know when you get like that really sympathetic smile because she clocked that I saw her and you just give me that like really like sad smile, and I was just like, okay, now it's hitting me what, like, loads of people are looking at me now because I'm not, like, everybody's, like, view was me. And I was like, I just had to walk out at that point. There were moments where I walk out and there was a corner where I would just go and cry. And then I'd have the groomsmen and I'd have my best friend around me kind of just building me back up again.
Wow.
And, like, at one point at the end, I think I was about a bottle of tequila deep. And, and then I think one of the songs came on from Star Is Born and that was mine and Callum's favourite film. And then I just had a massive panic attack and then I was outside in the garden and I literally like had my dress on and I started taking it off. I was like, girls, I need to get it off. And I was like having a panic attack. I couldn't breathe. All the groomsmen were kind of hiding me, like kind of barricading me as my friend is undressing me as I was getting basically naked in this open garden, and they're like, no, they're stopping people from coming around. So, and then I had my best friend Hannah running to go grab my pajamas. So, and like, I can laugh about it now and think, but at the time, like, I can see how like precious it was, the fact that they were protecting me, the boys. Like, these are his best friends.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I would have assumed perhaps that the groomsmen would decide to go home, and I guess that would be okay and understandable, but they stayed, which is wow.
Yeah, they literally, they stayed. They like, because they came up to me when I kind of walked around the bush to see everybody and they were tucked in the corner. And I was like, that's the first, like once I kind of said hello to my like my friends and my family, the first people I wanted to see was them because somebody told me that they were still there. And literally they all were lined up and they were all just sobbing. And I was like, I was like, and then I had to give him a hug. And like his best friend, Kai, honestly, they'd known Callum for 10 years. And he was just like,
yeah,
I'm just shocked. Because Kai didn't have any clue. So Callum didn't talk to Kai one bit before or about his decision. So he was in the dark as much as I was. And he was just gutted. Like he just was gutted that, not that so much had been left, because people, Callum had the right to not go ahead with the day, but he was just gutted that he didn't have the respect to talk to me about it face to face.
Yeah.
That and my friends are the ones to break the news to me rather than actual Callum. And I think he wanted answers as well, which he didn't have at that point. So Kai just basically went along with the day with me as well as his other groomsmen. And I asked them to walk into the reception to Liz as Good as Hell. And they danced along with me, which they're not the type of boys too. They're the type of boys
who sit there,
smile, get drunk in the corner and be the ones in the background. But they were face on in a room that they probably didn't really know many people because of Callum's side had gone. And so they were just kind of integrated into my family and they were accepted with open arms.
So Callum's parents left the wedding, did they, I assume?
Yeah, so Callum's dad never made it down because Callum's had like a younger brother and sister, and his sister was my flower, our flower girl, and we built up quite a nice relationship between us. And when his dad broke the news to me, I could hear her crying in the background, and she was just in hysterics. And and she was confused as well, because like she was all dressed up, got her nails done, so she was just confused why she couldn't go to this party. And it just wasn't a place for her to, and her brother to come, because they would have just been like hearing people say bad things about their brother. And I wouldn't have wanted that for them, because at the end of the day, that's their brother. They should be protected because they're very young. They should be protected from that information, because they don't need that to know that like bad stuff happens at their age.
Absolutely.
And his dad apologized to me and I completely understood. His family that were at the venue at the time, they went, so they couldn't stay. And I get it, because that's their son, their grandson, their nephew. I don't think they could see me and kind of, because they would want to justify his actions. I understand that to a point, because of you would want to justify your best friend murdering somebody. You'd find some reason. Yeah. If the person they murdered was a saint, you'd find like they ate their food wrong, or they like were open mouth chewing people. You'd find some reason, and I get that. But at the same time, if that was my son or daughter that went through that, I would tell them to just be an adult and tell them face to face, don't run away. That was my biggest problem, the running away rather than owning your decision.
So did he actually did he disappear? Like, did he actually run away somewhere, or was he just at home with his dad and then said, actually, I'm not going to go? Or was it a case that people didn't know where he was?
Exactly. I didn't know where he was. So the night before, I was in an Airbnb with my girls. Absolutely stunning. Like, we were filming like MTV Cribs videos, like really cringe videos. And I was telling all the girls, because I'm very much a woman's woman, and I told each girl why I chose them as my bridesmaids, because I had 9 bridesmaids.
Wow.
Yes. And like, I wanted them to think that it wasn't just because I chose them just like because they had to be a bridesmaid. I wanted them to know why they were a part of my team. And then he was at the venue in the caravan with his groomsmen, and his family were there as well at the venue. So I know now, so because of one of the groomsmen is my best friend's husband, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. So he was there the night before. He said they went into the beach. They literally, like, they ran into the sea. They were having fun. And then they went back to the caravan. Some of them had a couple of drinks. And then Callum was like, because it's so busy in this caravan, I'll go sleep with my mum. Because his mum was on and had like a caravan and many rooms to herself. Which obviously made sense. And then they woke up in the morning and his family broke it to them that he'd just gone in the middle of the night. And the boys were like, why didn't you wake us? Like, where's he gone? Why hasn't he come back? Is he okay? And they were like, oh, we can't get in touch with him. And they were like, well, we need to make sure he's okay, first of all, because that's what everybody's concern was. When I first heard that he was gone, like, my concern wasn't so much that he was gone, was the fact of, is he okay? Because like, he did struggle a little bit with like a bit of mental health and like thing because of like people do these days, and he did struggle with himself. So that was my concern, was a bit like, okay, what is he okay? And then Chrissy rung my best friend, the maid of honour, Geordie, and told her that he was gone and they can't get in touch with him. And then that was at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she was like, got all the bridesmaids into her own room, like individually, and was like, this is what's happening. How do we tell Kaylee? Because they were like, we need to break the news to her, but gently and like in a way that she can take it all in. And then I was like looking for my phone because Hannah shoved my phone down her bra, so it was in her boob. And I was like, oh my God, okay. Hannah, where's my phone? And she was like, I haven't got a clue. And I was like, okay, let's go look for it. And she was like, yeah, let's look for it. So she had it in her boob the whole time, but she was like lifting up like pot cushions. And I was like, oh my God, where is it? And then she was like, oh, it's here, it's under this blanket. And I was like, why is it under this blanket that I haven't even been in this room? And she's like, oh yeah. And I saw I had missed calls from his mum, so I rang her back, and then literally I could hear all scurrying in the room, and they were like, oh my God, she's going to ring his mum. And they didn't want his mum to tell me because they wanted to be my closest friends to tell me. And then as soon as his mum answered and then Jodie came to the bottom of the stairs at the same time, they both went, Callum's gone missing! And I was like,
oh God.
I said, what? I started laughing. I was like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, he's gone. And I was like, and then his mum was just crying on the phone. And I was like, is he okay? And they were like, we can't get in touch with him. And I was like, okay, can we try and get in touch with him first of all? Like, and they were like, he's gone. He's not going to come back. And I was like, well, how do you know? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, okay, then, well, I know him and I know he's gone for a walk, gone for a drive to clear his head. He'll be back. And then my sister was like, okay, girl, she's telling he's going to be back. And then everyone was like, okay, let's get the ball in motion again. Everybody started redoing their makeup, their hair. In the middle, I rang his dad and said, look, this is what's going on. Can you please keep an eye out for your phone? And if Callum rings you, can you see if he's okay? And just let me know what's going on. And he was like, yeah, of course. And then 11 o'clock, he rang me. And then as soon as he said hello, I knew. Like, no one had got, like, you know, it just, my stomach went.
The time, yeah. Yeah,
it's the dreaded hello. I'm not going to do it because I don't think it's something you can not naturally do. And I was just like, I went into the utility room. And I just sobbed. My sister, bless her, just done all my makeup. I bought Charlotte Tilbury foundation for the day. And
oh, the best one.
And it's expensive. Do you mean?
Yeah.
Every single drop was used with purpose. And and literally, like, my eyebrows were down my chest at this point. I didn't even know how. Like, you cry from here, not up your forehead. But they still managed to go down. And I was like, I was crying to my sister. I was like, I'm sorry, I've ruined my makeup. And she was like, it's fine. That's not the problem. I was like, there's a spider in the corner as well. And I can't move right now. And I was like sobbing. And she was just like, look, it's fine. It's fine. And the girls were like, Jodie's not a crier. And she was crying. So everyone was crying. And in between that time, my parents, the videographer, photographer, hairdresser had shown up between 7 and 11. And I told the girls not to let them know because I didn't want them to be tainted by Callum's, like, one-off decision, because I didn't want my dad or my mum to go, to be mad at him for going and then and not being in touch.
Yeah.
And then the girls broke the news in individually. I then cleared my face and I walked out and, like, again, the sympathetic smile hit me, and I was like, "Look, guys," I said, "I'm not China. I'm not like a teapot. I'm not gonna break. Like, just carry on." Because we had to get out of the Airbnb, and I was like, "Look, I'm not walking out of here like all puffy, denied face. Like, it was a bit of an armor." So I said to my sister, "Can you put my makeup back on?" She's like, "Absolutely." And they were like, "What do you want to wear?" And I was like, "Well, it's either my pajamas or my dress." And I was like, I'm just going to put my dress on. I want to feel nice. And then as my sister was redoing my makeup, I was like, what do I do? And she is like, what do you want to do? And I was kind of saying, like, how I kind of still want to enjoy the day, because I had people coming from all over the, like, from Scotland, from Ireland. Like, people have travelled hours to come to this wedding day and spent a lot of money themselves. And I had spent a lot of money. So the wedding was majority paid by myself. Like, his family paid for, like, the donut wall and the sweets and some of the favours. But the rest of it was me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've spent a lot of money. I'm not going to be able to get it back. And they're probably cooking the food already. And I was like, I want my natural bar, because anybody I talked to before the wedding, I was like, guys, I've got a nacho bar, I've got a donut wall, I'm so excited.
A nacho bar, that is absolutely amazing.
Like, literally had like cheese sauce, lovely salsa, jalapenos, guacamole, sour cream.
God.
And I love nachos, they're like literally my kryptonite. Like, yeah. I would be a size 8 if it wasn't for nachos and potatoes.
Oh my God, what a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. I was like so looking forward to that. And then my sister said about how a joke the videographer and photographer made, how like she spent all this day, spent all this money. Mm-hmm. So why doesn't she enjoy the day? And I was like you do feel a bit embarrassed at that point because like everybody's coming, everybody yeah. knows all of a sudden. And like you didn't, it wasn't news that you could kind of break out yourself. It wasn't something you could control. And I was like, I do kind of want to carry on. And she was like, well, we'll do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And then literally then it all just kind of, everyone was just like, kind of crescendo. And I was like, we're going ahead with it. We're going ahead with the day. So everybody was ringing ahead. The photographer went down to the venue, told them what's going on. And then, yeah, it kind of cannonballed after that then.
So what time was the actual ceremony starting?
1:30.
Okay, so to recap, Callum had gone missing in the night.
Yeah.
So between the night and the morning, this obviously stirred up a lot of worries with people. You know, people weren't sure if he was okay and what had happened. And then you found out that he definitely wasn't coming at, what time did you say?
11, because he was in Portsmouth. 11. So his nan lives in Portsmouth. Yes. So he was 4 hours away. So this was like around 11, half 11. And I knew at that point, even if he wanted to make his way back, he wouldn't have been able to make it in 2.5 hours, like an hour and a half time, because it was like nearly a 4 hour drive. So I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not getting married.
And you got to speak to him on the phone?
I didn't. No, I spoke to his dad.
Oh.
He wouldn't.
Okay, so you actually had no contact?
No, because I found out after what he had done, he had broke his old chip, his SIM card, and bought a new SIM card.
It's such a shame, because in that moment you suddenly feel like you're just anyone. Yeah. Then because you're like, why couldn't you speak to me? You could still speak to me, you know, even if it's not news I want to hear. You'd rather just hear it though, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And I was like, God, if I'm the worst person in the world, like I still deserve to be talked to, because I'm still a human at the end of the day. Like, tell me your decision. And like, because that's what I was like at the beginning. I was like, oh my God, have I been the worst girlfriend ever? Have I been horrible to him? And I was like racking everything from my brain. And my sister was like, absolutely not. Because majority of the relationship, like he moved in with my mom and dad. He hadn't had a job during the relationship. Not the fault of his own, because of COVID. So everything was financially reliant on myself. And I'd supported him. Like, he had multiple jobs, he had multiple career changes in his mind, and I wanted him to do whatever he loved, because at the end of the day it's his life, and like I wanted him to enjoy his career and have fun with it. So whatever his new adventure would be, like he did, like he wanted to be like a beer maker. He wanted to then go and be wedding coordinator. Then he finally decided on, like, he wanted to be in the Navy. Then he finally decided on being a police officer. And I was like, to all of his career choices. Because at the end of the day, I knew he was younger than me. And I knew what I was like at that age. And I wanted to kind of try everything under the sun and give everything a bit of a taster. So I was like, do it, because we got plenty of time when it comes to like responsibilities, because we didn't have a house. We live with my mum and dad, so we didn't have many bills to pay. All we would do was saving for the wedding. So I was like enjoy this time and find what you want to do for the rest of your life. And then I kind of finally realised that I wasn't the bad person, because when his groomsmen stayed, I think them staying proved to me that I was a decent person, because if I was the worst person in the world, they would have left.
Yeah, it was obviously clear then that the issue was never you, otherwise they would have been running as well.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been crying. No. They would have been they would have been like laughing, do you mean? So
when from the ceremony did you first ever speak to Callum again?
After. So he was due to pass out to the police on the Wednesday. So I was meant to go to his passing out parade. And at that point, I'd been speaking to his dad, and his dad said he hadn't spoken to him once, he couldn't get in touch with him. And I was, so when I came home to our room, I was like, I was packing up his stuff and I saw his police uniform. And I was like, well, if his dad hasn't spoken to him, how do I know he's going to the past, like the thing? Because at that point, the majority of his career choice said he had dropped out. He'd like, he would just gone, no, I'm not bothered with this anymore. So he'd been kind of like, didn't follow through with his plans, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when it comes to his career, makes sense now with the wedding. But, yeah. So I was like, oh, God, is he doing this? And the girls were like, well, he's done it before. This is, like, a pattern. So he might not be going. Yeah. And I was like, well, I've got government property here now. I'm not going to give it back to his dad. And then, because I would be responsible for it because it's in my property and his work was assigned to my property. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to hand in to the police station. And then when I gave all his stuff to his dad, I drove home and my brother had came in between and he was like, my brother was really, really angry because I'm his little sister. I'm the baby of, so I'm the youngest of 9 siblings. Yes. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we arrange basically.
Yeah.
Like my eldest brother's 48 and I'm 27. So there's a big range. And my brother was fuming, so he came and took his police uniform because he was like, Kayleigh's not dealing with this now, I'll deal with this, I'll hand it in. And then his dad rung my phone and my best friend answered and he was like, oh, where's Callum's police uniform? And she was like, oh, Kayleigh's going to hand it to the police. And he was like, well, he's going to his passing out parade on Wednesday. And she went, well, Kayleigh asked you if you'd spoken to him and you said no. So Kayleigh wanted to make sure it was handed into the right department. And he was like, oh, well, she should have given it to me. And she was like, well, she didn't. And now her brother's taken off her hand. So you're going to need to contact his brother, her brother. And he contacted my brother. My brother was very, very stubborn. And he was like, well, I'm not going to hand it to any Tom, Dick or Harry unless Callum gives me his authorization verbally over the phone. Yeah. And he had like his nan, his auntie, his friend. He had everyone else call my brother apart from himself. And my brother was fuming because like, my brother was like, all I want to do is speak to this person. And he hasn't even got the decency just to
speak to himself. That's frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother was getting more and more frustrated. He was like, Kayleigh, don't, I'm going to burn this. So I was like, no, you can't burn it. It's property. And he was like, I know, but I really want to burn it. I was like, you can't. And he was like, okay. And then finally, like at 9 o'clock in the night, he'd rung my brother and my brother was like, do you know what? You've taken so long to ring me back now and speak to me. You've gone everybody under the sun. You're just an absolute coward. And he was like, do you know what, Cal? Because you've taken so long, I've forgotten where I put it. Oh. And my brother was sitting right next to it. And my brother was like, I don't know where I put it. And he was like, I won't give it back to you. And I might remember if you try and speak to Kayleigh. And he rung me because my brother said that to him. And I was like, I'm not speaking.
Fair play, though.
I know. And my brother was like, did that. And then so Callum had tried ringing me, but it was an unknown number. So I didn't answer it because I was like, it's a cold caller. Because obviously I have his new number. And then he messaged me and he basically said, I know you don't want to be speaking to me. I've written you a letter as to why I did what I did. Never received a letter, can I add? Never once received it. So that was a lie. And he was like, you know the reason why I'm passing out and want to be a police officer is because I'm doing it for my gran and my granddad. And his granddad had just passed away in the November. And he knew that I had a soft spot for them. So he was trying to make me kind of like feel guilty in that way. And then at the very end, he said, I am sorry. So I felt like even though he said sorry, I didn't feel like it was like an actual sorry, if that makes sense. It was like, I'm sorry, but give me back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was like, I probably should say sorry now, so I'll just say it sort of thing.
Exactly. But so I messaged him back and said, look, my brother's taken out of my hands. Contact him and only him now. And I said, thank you for asking how I am, by the way, or even thinking about me at all. And then I blocked him. And because I was just like, if his first thought is him in this situation, then he's made it very clear that that's not the person I want to be with. Because
it makes you wonder if he's ever said to his family, how was Kaylee on the day? Did she look okay? Was she crying? Did she look embarrassed? Like, these are all things that you think if somebody obviously really loves you, they're going to be asking because they're going to want to know how you are coping.
But I don't know for sure, but I don't think that ever come across his mind personally because nobody like his family messaged me saying obviously sorry, like his nan messaged me saying sorry, but they were like they said like this is the only way that Callum could handle the situation, and I was like don't make excuses. Yes, he was right in making his decision if he didn't want to get married, absolutely, but you can't justify him just running away. It's not justifiable. And like I just didn't message him back because I was a bit like very angry in that position, and I was like I wasn't gonna message them angrily because I wasn't angry at them, they were the wrong person. I did recently unblock Callum because when my mother passed away in January, it is what it is, bless her, we nearly lost her, see, in 2021. And one of her wishes two of her wishes, she had a wish to see my niece be born, Ivy, which she did, and she wished to see my wedding, which she did. So she saw me one of my strongest days, which is what I'll forever be grateful for. And I unblocked him because I messaged his best friend, Kai, and said, look, this is what's happened, because he'd known my mum for about 4 years. So, like, he'd built a relationship with her, so he deserved to know. And then I unblocked him just to see if he would message me, which he never has. But his family did send me did send my dad flowers. So they didn't send me flowers, they sent my dad flowers.
Okay. I mean, it does feel like another little slap in the face, isn't it? Is that how long you and Callum were together for? About 4 years before you got married?
Coming up 4 years into December. So we were like about 3 years and like 9 months. And so it was a very quick like engagement because I never, like I always believed that we were going to get married. So I'd always said, oh, I can't wait to marry you and things like that. But I knew that would come in time with me. I wasn't rushed, because I was saving for a house. So that was my priority, first of all, was getting us a house and somewhere where we could live together and build our own kind of memories. And then he worked away, came back, and then he made the decision to propose because it wasn't anything we didn't speak about when we're going to propose, what we were going to do. He did it all off his own back. And this was like during lockdown in August 2020, so just after lockdown. And like he came to the menu tastings, came to see the venue, chose the colours, like we chose our favourite, we named the tables after our favourite movies. So he's very much integrated into the planning, like he was fully on invested in it. Like,
and a few years is a decent amount of time. It's not like you were just together like 4 or 6 months and thought, oh, sod it, let's do this. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've been together a while. You've built up that love and that like bond and that obviously that friendship as well. Like everything was there. So you'll just assume that it would never even get to this point that you'll be in this position.
Exactly.
It's crazy. And has he said now, like given you an answer that you feel explains it better, that you can understand, or do you still feel like you're in limbo?
No, he hasn't given me any. He hasn't told me why at all. So after the wedding, I messaged Kai and said, look, is he okay? Because at that point, I was still like concerned if he was okay or not. And he was like, yeah, he's okay. He's just a bit defensive and in denial about what's happened. So I don't think, I don't think Callum 100% knew what he was doing and what decision he made and how he made it. And but yeah, he's never given me any reason why. I can think of a few probably reasons why now, because there'd been a couple of accounts that had been set up in my name that he had set up in my name back from 2020. And like I'd missed payments on my credit file because of accounts that he'd set up. So I don't know whether that was a part of it because I think he webbed himself a bit of like lies mentally or like in his own mind, and he got a bit scared, which if he had come to me and told me that he did that, I would have been okay, it's fine, what can we do to rectify the situation together? Because I wasn't like, I'm not like that type of person to kind of like hold something against somebody, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think that may have been part of it. And I just think, like, he was 24, like, he is 24 still now. And if when I was 24, I probably wouldn't have been ready for such a big commitment. But I thought he was because he made the decision and he never once told me, like, any inkling that he couldn't go ahead with the day. And so, but I think maybe that, but...
But equally, you know, it's not your responsibility to have to try and answer these questions for him. This is definitely something that you should have had. And, you know, 24 was still old enough to propose and plan a wedding. And if he can do those things, then he should have been old enough to just kind of say, actually, can we just slow this down? You know, I'm sure he had plenty of opportunities, but he chose not to take them. Have you heard from, well, I'm assuming not him, but have you heard it from the family or anything when this started going viral when you're on TV? Has it been like, wow, this is crazy?
So when we found out about some of the accounts, and like, I'm not saying any of this to get him reprimanded. I don't want any of that. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is not to drag him through the mud anymore. Like, he was very naive in the situation, and he's probably reeling that off now. So it's not to say anything to drag his name through the mud even anymore. I'm just being honest about the situation because that's all I can be. And this is the situation that I'm in. And basically, when I found out, so I had a text from Three saying, your account has had some missed payments on. Can you please contact us? And the number that I ended in wasn't my number. And I looked and it was Callum's old number. And so I rang them up and they said, you've had this another phone set up. In your name. And I was like, can I check the email on it? And it was Callum's email. It was his mobile number. And I was like, this isn't my account. I didn't set it up. I've been with you since I'm 18 years old. Like, he couldn't have been able just to take this out. And they were like, look, we're very sorry, but it's been taken out. To cancel it down, so it was about £300 in arrears. And to cancel it down was about like £400. So it was nearly £700 to cancel down this phone contract. And I know prior to this, I had used, so my friend set up a GoFundMe and I'd used some of the GoFundMe money to pay off the laptop that he set up in my name. So there was about nearly £700 left of the laptop that I'd still got now. So I kept the laptop, luckily enough.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have paid it off. But that was where I had missed payments on my credit file, see, because of the laptop. And I was like, I just want to pay this laptop off, just so I don't get any more missed payments on it, because that was my big concern. I didn't want my future to be affected anymore by these missed payments. So I paid that off and I paid a couple of other things off that he'd set up in my name. So I was like, okay, fine. And then when I found about the phone, I just broke down because I was like, I'm paying for his mistakes now again and again and again.
Literally, yeah.
Literally paying for it now. And I was like, I can't do any more, because at that point I'd gone to New York. I used some of the GoFundMe to kind of do a trip to just like get away. And honestly, that trip did the world for me. And I was just like, I felt like I was kind of taking 5 steps forward and like 10 steps back at that point, because when I had that message and I rang my friend Geordie and she was like, you're not paying it now. She then messaged his auntie. His auntie was apologized because none of them knew about this either. And they were like, and my aunt Jordy was like, well, we are not paying this. Callum needs to pay this now. Otherwise, we're bringing the
police. Absolutely.
Which we were completely justified and able to do. And I didn't want to, because I don't want to be the reason to affect his career or why he loses his job. Because I don't want ever to have that on my shoulders, because I'd feel guilty about that. And that was my last resort. And his auntie was like, look, I'll pay for it now. But she did comment on how she saw me on This Morning and how I made comments on the GoFundMe money and how I said that I had spent 12 grand on this wedding, that I had paid for it. And they made comments about how they, like, I didn't say how they paid for the donut wall or the favours. And they were upset that I didn't say that, which I get. But...
It's a little bit nitpicky.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my 12 grand probably to your grand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be fair, like at that point, like even before, but I didn't see it as me spending 12 grand. Like I saw it as us, because I was thinking that I'd looked after Callum there's so much in this beginning of the relationship. Hopefully now he'll look after me then if we'd have children and I was to have some time off.
Yeah.
So I always saw it as balancing each other out, it being equal. Mm-hmm. But at that point, Jordy was like, she was like being the best friend going, you are not paying this, they are paying it. Because I was like, I'll just pay it. And she was like, absolutely not. And she was fuming. And they did then send me the money. And then that's what I used then to pay that off. So bless his auntie for doing that, because she didn't have to do that.
And yeah, still, that's very sweet.
Yeah, she was still doing that. But she did have to get that little jab in, which I kind of get, but annoying. But that's really it, in the long story short.
So, I mean, it sounds like mostly everyone has kind of been really supportive. Yes, there's been a few comments, but I guess it gets difficult for people and they sort of feel a little bit in the middle. But it does sound like, for the most part, people were very supportive of you.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Do you think he's embarrassed now, knowing that it went so viral? And, I mean, people haven't seen his face on the video, but a lot of people will know that it's him.
Yeah. Well, so when I sold the story to Sun, I asked them, I said, look, can you not put any of his name in there, his age, because he is a police officer. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to sacrifice that. And they were like, yeah, of course. And as a Sun, they do their own investigation. So they found his social media through his own information. That's where they got the picture from. So his own Instagram is his profile picture, even though it's private. They cropped his profile picture, and then they came and asked my neighbour, so Lindsay, bless her, they were like, oh, do you know this gentleman? She was like, yeah, that's Callum, that is. Oh, he bloody left my neighbour at the altar though, didn't he? But she was just typically just saying all of this, didn't know what she was saying, and they go, oh yeah, thank you, and then they walked away, and then they obviously made the post. And you can tell it wasn't provided by me, because they got his age wrong. So he said he was 21, which would have meant he was 17 when I met him, which is definitely not true. I wanted to make sure that got corrected. So I rang them up and said, look, if you've obviously got his information done, can you make sure he says 24 now? And then he rang the Sun himself, because all throughout this, the Sun had like the SWNS, the people who were covering my story and selling my story for me on my behalf, they had to ring Callum. So they rung Callum and advised him of what's happening. They didn't have to get his permission, but they had to advise him of what's happening. So he knew this paper was coming out. And then he rung the Sun and said, you can't put my picture in the Sun because I'm a police officer.
Right.
So they then they rung me to confirm his occupation. I said, yes, he is a police officer, which is why I didn't that. And then the next day they did the Rocky Cop article.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Is it? Guess what I'll be Googling.
The day after, Lindsay says Rocky Cop left a bride at the altar and they found his cop picture on his passing out on Gwent Police's Facebook page. So, at the end of the day, he did dob himself in by doing that. Do you mean like that wasn't me?
But you know, all of this is just the consequences of his own actions, really. Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit of karma. If he had done things differently, none of this would have been happening. So,
no, absolutely, absolutely. And it makes me laugh now, but like, I think, I hope like he doesn't get like picked on or bullied because of it, because at the end of the day he is still a human and he made a mistake, it is what it is. But at the same time, a bit of petty revenge, because at the end of the day I'm only human, I like to be a little bit petty. If he does get with another girl and they Google him, he's screwed.
She won't want to plan a wedding, let's split that way. She'll be a bit concerned.
No, and that I didn't do it for that reason, but my sister said that to me and I was like, oh god, I didn't even think of it like that. But yeah, like it is what it is. At the end of the day, like I didn't sell the story because of him. I sold it because of I needed to get a bit of money back, and I was a bit like, I was proud of what I achieved on the day as well.
And 100%.
And I was a bit like, why not? And I was like, if I can help somebody in some way, because I've read stories before that have helped me and helped me overcome situations. And I'm glad that I did, because I got loads of messages back from people and women who had gone through similar situations or who'd gone through like a bad breakup, even women fighting cancer, and so how connected to the story. And I was just like, this is why I'm glad that I talked about what I'd gone through.
It was such a positive video to go viral, because I just think, you know, so many people go into a marriage or relationship and, you know, their other half can hold all the cards. At least it can very much feel that way. And I can imagine how so many women would crumble on that day and feel really heartbroken, all because of a man. And I don't mean to say that, you know, in a like a really shallow way, because I know obviously people, you know, you're in love with that person. But I think it's just so strong to be able to turn around and be like, you know, despite this person, I'm still going to go on. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to wear the dress. I paid for this, so I'm going to enjoy it. Like, I think it gives a really strong message.
Yeah. And I think if I was reading it, like, as like a third party, I would have felt that same as well. Gone, God, go whoever. Do you mean go you? And like, on the day, I didn't see it as that. Like, I saw it as this is the only thing that I could do, because I'm very much a type of person who gives a lot of advice to people. People come to me, ask for my advice, but I can't take my own advice. Never, ever been able to. And then on the day, I kind of had to, because I only had me to go off at that point. So I couldn't like bounce it off, like, because Callum, normally me and Callum would sit next to each other and we'd bounce each other ideas off each other. If I had a thought, I'd bounce it off him. And like, yes, I could bounce it off my friends and my sisters, but it's a different kind of like communication you have with your partner, because like, you're there with them majority of your time. You sleep with them, you wake up with them. So you're very vulnerable with your partner. And
absolutely.
So at that point, like, I didn't feel alone, but I was a bit like, I have to make a choice and it has to be what I want to do, not what anybody else wants to do. And
definitely
that was what I decided to do at that point. And I'll always be proud of it forever.
Do you feel like you have some closure from it now? Because I can imagine at the time, obviously him just disappearing in the night, rather than having an adult conversation, it must have felt like you had literally no closure.
100%. I've gone to therapy and I'm very open about that. My work, luckily enough, provide like therapy sessions that I've gone to, because I've always advocated for therapy for like my family, because they've had to go to it. So I was like, it's about time again I take my own advice and seek help, which I did, which I'm very thankful for. And as cheesy as it sounds, I've learned that no closure is closure.
Okay.
So I know now that he's not the person I want to be with, and I've got, I now know who the true Callum is, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. So yeah.
I think a narcissist is a very strong word, but unfortunately that's what I think he is. And I don't think it's in the mean way. I don't think it's malicious. I think it's in denial narcissism. So I think he believes his own lies, and is wrapped up in his own world and his own emotions, which is fine.
But that's why I guess you don't necessarily need that closure from somebody like him then. Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. How do you feel going forward now? I'm assuming, are you single at the moment?
Absolutely. So I did go on a date, went to Nando's with him. He paid. Stayed over his house, and it was the worst, I don't know if I can say it, the worst bedtime I've ever experienced in my life. It was horrific.
Oh God.
I sat in my car and I drove and I cried home. I cried on the way home.
Oh no. It was that bad.
Yeah, I called my sister and I was like, I was just sobbing. So I was like, is this what I'm going to look forward to?
Was the Nando's good at least?
The Nando's was lovely. Do you know what I mean? I had my butterfly chicken, my peri salted chips. I was in heaven.
Done.
But it just wasn't the best bedtime making I've ever experienced. So I was just like, oh my God. And it was just horrific. And then I think that kind of like took me back a little bit, because I was like, oh God. But at the minute, like, I think we'd lose my mum as well. Like, I just I need to focus on me at the minute. And like, so I live with my dad and my niece 100%. Now as well. So they still live with me. And my niece is 22. My dad is like 72, about to turn. And like, both of them are struggling because of the loss. So I'm looking after them now. So I think trying to look after another person, absolutely not. Do you mean like, I want to just have a bit of fun at the minute. But a good type of fun.
I think so many people relate to that little Nando's date as well, because so many people, they go out there for that date, hope it's going to make them feel 10 times better. And more often than not, they just feel worse. Like, why did I do that?
100%. Literally. Because I got in there and he was like, yeah, should we go? Fine. Drove us to the Nando's. He didn't drive. And I was like, okay. Like, he does have to drive his car. He had a bit of a crash. I was like, okay, it's fine. I drove us, sat down there. It was just like, I was like forcing the conversation because I was like, oh, this is dead air. And I was like, I hate dead air. Like, I'll talk about the weather if I have to. And I was like, okay, let's talk. And then went back to his and he was like, do you want to stay for a movie? And I was like, I'm the type of person that can't really say no to other people because I'm very much a people pleaser. And I progressed a bit at that point. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll stay, fine. And then I was just like lying there going, this is awful. Tried it the one time, it was horrific. So I was like, oh, let's give him another chance because I'm always about second chances. Absolutely horrific again. We did it a third time and I was just like, rock, third time lucky? No, absolutely not. Got in the car on the way home and I just rang my sister and I was like, why me kind of moment.
Yeah. Oh, God. We've all had to have them. Yeah. I think it's just like part of being a woman. You just got to have a dodgy date.
Oh, absolutely. And like he was lovely. He was really, really nice. But like he was very like then he started talking about the future and he was like, oh, I could really see us going on another date, like going away together. And I was like,
I'm choking. I can't breathe.
Yeah, like choking on my chip. And I was like, please.
But I do want to kick Callum in the balls a little bit for not messaging you after your mum passed, because I think being with somebody for 4 years, you would have liked a little message that just said, you know, I'm really sorry, I've heard the horrible news, you know, something.
Yeah, I would have expected that after my mum, and that's why I did it, because like, I didn't want to be sitting here going, no, I haven't had any communication after my mum passed away if I blocked him, because he can't reach out to me. So that's why I was like, I'll unblock him, see if he does, because it'd be interesting to see if he does, and I kind of hoped that he would, because it was a bit like, because my mum was disabled, I was a young carer, so my mum was permanently like in the house. She could go out, but with somebody, and because Callum wasn't working during COVID, so they'd spent a lot of time together, so he'd help my mum, like, pick her up when she fell down, like, make her food, like, go and take down a medicine box and things like that, so they built up a very strong relationship. So I thought that he would reach out, but obviously he kind of proved me wrong again, and didn't. But like, I think
has the situation put you off planning a future wedding with a much better man? Obviously,
absolutely not. As weird as this,
no. Oh, good.
Yeah, like because of like I don't want my past to affect somebody else's future. Do you mean if that person, if they want to get married and they want to have a big wedding with like thing, then I'm not going to take that away from them. And on the actual day, I never saw the ceremony room because a little hope of me thought if I'm going to do this again, I want to save a ceremony room and walking down the aisle for the big day, my actual wedding day. So like I do want to have that moment. I think every girl
dream of it.
Walking down with your dad to lovely music, everyone's crying, going, oh my god, absolutely stunning. Do you know what I mean? And like you got have you seen 27 Dresses?
I have.
So know the bit that he says when he goes, oh, I like to look back at the groom and see their face.
Yes,
That film has always made me look forward to that moment.
So, Joe, same actually, because I remember saying to Ryan the day before we got married, you better cry. If you don't, I'm going to get the ump. And he was like, oh, you put so much pressure on me now. I'm not going to cry now. I was like, well.
But this is what we said. I said exactly the same to Callum. And Dory even said to him, my friend said to him, like, if you don't cry, we're going to punch you. So you will cry, or we'll put an onion underneath you, or your nose. Or
something. Yeah.
So I always dreamed of that moment since that film. And, like, I'm glad that, like, some bit to save for the wedding day.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose when you look at it like that, it is. So, that you know, there are parts that aren't tainted and you can still do for the first time with, you know, the right one for you.
Exactly. And, like, the reason why I think, like, is because when I've been in relationships before, when, so, like, my ex actually was called Callum, before Callum. So I've been with two Callums, Callum with a K and Callum with a C. No more Callum.
No more Callum.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a silent M. No more Callum.
I know. I've literally said, even if it begins with Q, I'm running the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
I'm going. And my previous relationship with him, so he tried to get a thing, but he was quite mentally and physically abusive towards me. And he held, so like, he wouldn't let me go outside the house because his ex would cheat on him, for example. He wouldn't let me go on nights out because his ex would cheat on him. And then when I came out of the relationship, what I kind of learned from that was, like, I don't want to be that person now going into my next relationship. I don't want to, like, control somebody's actions or control how somebody speaks to me because of my past and because of my past relationships. So I think that's something why I'm speaking the way I am now. Like, I think at the time, if it actually does happen, it is probably going to be tough. Like, I'm probably am going to have a bit of, like, sounds really severe, but PTSD towards, like, somebody proposing to me.
No, definitely.
At the moment, it probably is going to be tough, but I hope that, like, I do get married to somebody and I get that kind of I do kind of moment, because I am, like a movie and TV and musical theatre buff. So, like, I want my, like, happily ever after.
I love that you mentioned PTSD, because actually, as much as we've all had a giggle and a laugh with you and, you know, the Lizzo music was great and everything else, that is a very true thing that can occur from that, because it can be very traumatic seeing loved ones crying. It can be humiliating feeling like it didn't go the way you wanted and people could be talking about it. So you actually, well, for starters, you're right, because you went to therapy. But yeah, that's definitely not silly. I mean, you went through a really strange event that is not the norm. People don't go through this sort of stuff every day, and you handled it like a pro at the time. But absolutely, you're right that there might be elements of that going forward, but you're doing something about it now, so
yeah. No,
be good.
Exactly. Like, my friend, bless her, Lynn, she, when I went over to her house and I showed her the video that I made, she just started crying. She's like, I'm just traumatized for it. And she went to a wedding recently and she was just sitting there going, my God, is he going to show up? Is he here?
Yeah.
She was looking for the groom when she was there. So, like, for everybody there, like, I think it's going to be something they'll always remember. Like, my friends and family, they'll always be like, oh, yeah, I went to a wedding once this and this happened. So,
yeah,
it was a bit of experience. And, like, it was traumatic because, like, I hate being vulnerable. I'm such a, like a big character. I'm very loud, very obnoxiously loud, I should say. It is what it is.
You're a fixer. I've already been on here with you for nearly an hour and I can tell you're a bit of a fixer already.
Yeah.
You're like, you fix the people and the situations and make everything okay.
I do that for it like everybody else. And I think at the time, like, I can easily speak to somebody like this. So me and you now, I don't know you as well as my other friends, for example, now.
Yeah.
But I can speak to you very much easily, a lot easier than compared to my actual friends and my mother and my dad and things in my family, because of, I hate being vulnerable in front of them. And that's something I've always struggled with, because I think it's because dealing with my mum as a young carer and looking after her, I never could be vulnerable because of she was the vulnerable person. I always had to look after her. And I think
so. Is that why the wedding went the way it went as well? Turned into that fun party because you were thinking a little bit more about other people as well, just wanting to have them to have fun and not think they've got to go home and cry.
100%. Like, that's what I said to my sister. Like people had paid. Like, my mum had paid £120 for, like, the room for the night before, for the night of the wedding, and that's a lot of money for my mum and my dad. And, like, my friends and family had paid the same. People, like, my bridesmaid had paid for their dresses, their makeup, their hair. And this, like, £80 and £100 here and there is a lot for my family and friends. So I was just like, oh my God, people have paid money and it's not going to go ahead with. And that was a big part of my decision as well. Like, selfishly, I did get something from it in the end, but that was my main reason, first of all. And selfishly as well, I did want my natural bar, coming back to that.
I don't think it's selfish, though. I think you deserved it, considering. Yeah. Have you seen in America, well, it's mostly American, they do these photo shoots in the wedding dresses where they just, like, burn them.
Yes.
Or, like, ruin them. What are you going to do with yours?
I actually donated it to a mother of three.
Oh, God, that's such a nice answer. I would have just set fire to it. You're just too nice.
I was thinking I'd burn it and put all gold in. I've seen those ones and they go into the sea and they wear the wedding dress in the sea. But that dress, so I had an attachment to it. So it'd been under my bed for 2 years. So I just absolutely loved my dress. And
it was beautiful.
I wanted it to have its moment where, unfortunately, it actually doesn't fit the woman now. So it fits her, but it isn't her style. So she's donating it to another person. But okay. I hope that dress does get a happy ending in the end. And even if it doesn't, even if it does go to a charity shop, it's fine because it'll make this charity shop absolutely glorious. Do you know what I mean?
And
I wanted to get rid of it as well at the same time because I didn't want it under my bed anymore. Bless her, she drove down and she come and collected it, but yeah, I couldn't burn it because it was like an armour, if that makes sense. Cheesy as that sounds, booing in my mouth while I'm saying that, so I do apologise. but it was literally it gave me confidence. I felt beautiful in it. Like, even though my makeup had cried off at the end, it was all gone, I still felt beautiful in this dress.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just couldn't burn it.
And even though it wasn't necessarily a bridal dress on the day, it was that bad bitch confidence dress, you know, it made you shine.
Absolutely. Do you mean it's a little teaser for my future husband, do you mean? I'll be like, I'm going to be doing better than this next time, so watch this space.
Okay, but the Nacho bar might have to be repeated.
100%.
That's iconic.
But I'm going to be doing a cheese sauce something, so...
Oh my God.
That's what I'll do next time. Do you mean?
Can I come to this world?
Absolutely. I'm making an open invite for everybody. I've said, I'd want to have a speedy sound, a carnival ride there and just make it really fun.
Fun. Yeah.
Just
best day.
Yeah. And I wouldn't do it for other people because that's what I was doing during the wedding. I was I can't have a hog roast in the night because of somebody is got Crohn's, they can't have pork. I can't do this because of X, Y, and Z. I can't have this music on because Cam's family are very middle class. They don't like a thing. I have to have strawberry cake for my top tier because of their family. So it's very for other people in the wedding as well. And the next wedding I would plan, I would literally be like, this is for me. If you want to enjoy the ride, you can enjoy it too. If you don't enjoy it, then go home.
Yeah, because you've got to have that little bit of bridezilla in you. You've got to be firm. This is your day.
Yeah.
Well, yours and whoever partners it is, but everyone knows it's mostly the bride's day.
100%, it is. Absolutely, it is. And I think I took that and then some on that day.
Yeah. Kaylee, thank you so much for talking to me about all this.
Thank you for honestly having me because it's just surreal that people still want to talk to me about.
Well, it was just such a big video last year, and I think it was just it gave a lot of women things to think about and talk about, and I think that's why everyone loved it. So I'm so happy that I've been able to talk to you direct about it. It's been brilliant.
Honestly, thank you for having me, and can I just say thank you for how much joy you bring to people as well. Your videos are hysterical, and I love that you just put yourself out there with no what it's called, super clear glasses, whatever. You basically just go out there, you put your heart in your sleeve out there, and it's incredible, and it's something that's inspiring me because I kind of want to do that, but I get a bit scared to do it at the same time. So it's incredible.
Thank you so much. Thanks everybody for listening. I hope you've really enjoyed this podcast today, and we'll see you all soon on the next one. And thank you so much again, Kaylee. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.